verses for an introduction. We will read this most of the chapter of 15 in a few minutes in the notes. We have spent now, I don't know, is this the fifth week? Probably. On the subject of Baptist polity. Big word. If you were not here for the first 2 weeks, you probably need to go back and listen to it online, because it's always a good idea if you actually know why a Baptist church does what it does. And what we do has nothing to do with tradition. I'll wait till everybody looks up this way. People go, I just like that church. You know, none of that stuff has anything to do with anything. Why don't we base what we do on Scripture? It seems to be obvious to me. Well, tonight we're going to continue about the Baptist polity. Let's just read the last two verses of chapter 14. And when they were come, meaning Paul, Barnabas, were come and had gathered the church together. You see, too many churches think a church is a building. The church is the pastor or pastors. I just come if I want to. No, the church is who I'm looking at. You're not looking at the church. You're just looking at one member of the church. When they had were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he, meaning God, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples, with the church. And of course, we know what happens in the next chapter. We have conflict. We are going to quickly highlight what we talked about and summarize in the first few weeks, and then we will move forward into and finish this up tonight. Just so you know, whether you like to know or not, I'll be dealing with subjects about the church over the next few weeks. I will next week deal with something in Mark chapter 2, Lord willing. I also have a bunch of material I have written on tougher subjects, subjects that maybe you haven't thought about, that you need to think about, in relationship to what is the church? Is there such a thing as a universal church, or is it only local? All of those sorts of things we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. Tonight, some of you will for the first time realize why I have little patience with Christians. Because the church is the church's. It's not mine. And too many of you see the church as a place you go whether you feel like going. This is your church. What this church believes is yours. Look at me. The kind of music you hear is you. We'll pick up there in a moment. Father, I ask your blessing on this night. May this be a profitable night. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In your notes, I'll just rehearse this only because it wouldn't hurt. We have talked over these weeks that, number one, the local church is led by what? And what are other names for pastors in the Bible? Elders. Bishops is the wrong translation. Overseers. King James says bishops in a couple places. So it's the pastors, bishops, or overseers, elders. All the same individuals. The local church is served by the deacons, or the servants. And we've said, and I do mean, on the whole, we have a tremendous group of deacons that are great servants. And that's a real blessing. Last week, we started with the concept of the local church is governed by the congregation or by the members. Meaning, in reality, the members bear great responsibility for what the church is. Now, I talked yesterday. I talked yesterday to a friend that took over a church 4 or 5 years ago in Virginia. The church is filled with old people. Do you know how many independent Baptist churches today where I would be the young? Do you know how many of them are filled with people? If I went there, I'm the youngest guy there. What'd you say, Tim? Most of them. Why? Because the church wasn't the church. The music we play. You decide what kind of music the church plays. You decide whether your children will learn to sing this kind of music. You decide everything. And what churches, by the way, talk to my friend. He has a group from the greatest generation. By the way, he is, let me see, I am 57. He will be 59. He is the youngest member of his church. In 10 years, he will not have a church. That church will disappear. And I told him, I said, it's probably a good thing. Because the church, by the way, my daughter is teaching young people how to sing. When you have friends that don't bring their children to learn how to sing, do you know what they're saying? When your children don't learn how to play the piano, when they don't learn musical instruments, when they don't do this, the church fails. Yes, my job, his job, Brian's job is to lead. But my friend, the church's job is what happens in a church. And churches abdicate responsibility, and church after church after church becomes a rock and roll center, and everybody wonders why. In your notes, I'll just repeat this quickly. If you didn't write it down last week, Baptists have always held to and been identified by the ideas that the local churches are to be self-governing. They take care of themselves, self-propagating or perpetuating, meaning they not only reach people in the community, but they start other churches, and self-supporting, meaning they take care of their own needs. Several concepts. I said last week, this doesn't mean we have to have a congregational vote every time we buy paper for the copier. If you want one of those kind of churches, you're not going to find that here. But it does mean these things. The congregation disciplines itself, or its sinning members. Something to that effect. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday night for the next few weeks. By the way, we call this what? Somebody tell me what you call this. Church discipline, not pastor discipline. Number two, the congregation elects its own members, obviously. Next page, please. I'm not going to give the subpoints. Number three, the congregation determines its own relationships, its own relationship with sister churches. It is the church that comes together and makes these sorts of decisions. Not just a pastor, not a deacon, not somebody important in the church, but the church does. So in Acts 14, it says, and when they were come, meaning the Paul and Barnabas and his fellow workers, they gathered together. This is the only place in the New Testament you have this. You have the verbal form of synagogue, and you have ecclesia together. They synagogued the church, which is a funny statement. They gathered together those that have been called out of the world. They gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. But there was a problem. Everyone look at me. I know churches. It's common, actually, that a church like this starts a daughter church. They help a church get started. Maybe they start another church. 30, 40 years later, this church becomes liberal. This isn't going to happen here, but what is the responsibility of that daughter church? To follow this church? Of course not, because churches are independent in that sense, and they determine their own relationships. Now, we have the church at Antioch, and the church at Antioch had some people coming from Jerusalem spreading false doctrine. What was the responsibility? Look at me, not of the members. Excuse me, of the pastors, of the members at Antioch. They needed to do something about this false doctrine. So they sent Paul, Barnabas, some of their elders, some of their members to Jerusalem and said, what are you spreading up here? Well, we'll read that. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, the church, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, I guarantee you that was an argument, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of whom, them, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church. I love that statement. That is a semi-technical term of mission support found about five or six times in the New Testament. They passed through, the King James uses the improper spelling today, Phoenicia, Lebanon today, and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by whom? My friend, this was the church at Antioch and some of their elders. This was missionaries, Paul and Barnabas and maybe some fellow workers. This was the church in Jerusalem and yes, their elders and the apostles. This was not a church synod where you have something above the church and they get together and talk. No, this was a church in Antioch, a church in Jerusalem, gathering together to have a serious discussion about false doctrine. In your notes. They were received of the church and of the apostles and the elders. And they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, you have leadership, of course. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that God, a while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to other leaders, Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Verse 22. Then it pleased, by the way, you need to listen to this. Then it pleased the apostles and elders, elder, pastor, overseer, and the what? The whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Barnabas and Paul, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and... let's see here. What verse is that? 23. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto thee whom? Everyone look at me. Are you getting the scenario? Please look at me. My son and daughter-in-law have been looking for a church since dirt. They have found a church that most of the time is reasonable. Most of the time. It has a little problem. It's run by a group of a board. Nobody really knows who's on the board, and nobody knows who runs the church outside of this. They have one pastor, and the pastor is a gunslinger, meaning he's over here. He has no say in anything. The board runs the church, and that's how the church runs. And by the way, and you don't know who's on the board. Are you listening? I don't know where we find this kind of nonsense in the Scripture. Because in Acts chapter 15, we have a church in Antioch and we have a church in Jerusalem. And the members, along with the pastors and along with the elders, are coming to conclusions. Now, by the way, I want to ask you a question. Why is it that the members don't have a say in churches? Because they abdicate. They hand it over to other people. They don't care. I want to say this. On the whole, this church is very good in that sense. I never talk about Awana, but we have a good Awana guy over here and a good Awana lady and a great Awana group. You know why? They want to see the faith what? Passed down. Do you? But it's not enough to have Awana. You have to have this. You have to have this. You have to have choirs. You have to have the whole program. You have to have people that can play that. Why don't churches play the piano anymore? They can't play anything except noise. We continue. Verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. For time I have skipped some of the verses. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the elders together, no, we're back to congregation again, they delivered the epistle. And when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. My friend, please look at me. Churches, and I have seen this, I know churches this has happened to. This church started that church. If you're from where I'm from, Southern Illinois, middle of the state, you get a lot of First Baptists. If you don't know why a church is called First Baptist, Louis, do you know why a church would be called First Baptist Church? It isn't philosophical. It was the First Baptist Church in the town. So sometimes you'll have First Baptist if it's a big town, then you'll have Second Baptist. Then you'll have Third Baptist, and you'll have Fourth Baptist. Where Dr. Bowder goes is Fourth Baptist Church of Minneapolis. Probably that church came from one Baptist church that started at least three other churches. Sometimes the original church goes liberal or compromises. The other churches, just because you have some kind of a relationship, you choose whether or not. Now, in this case, the beautiful thing is the church at Antioch, the church at Jerusalem, agreed. The apostles agreed. The elders agreed. They said, hey, these people are teaching false doctrine. They didn't get that from us. Everybody agreed. That doesn't always happen. Not at all. Number four in your notes. This is obvious. The congregation collects, distributes, and safeguards its own finances. We don't send them to another organization. We don't have anybody, you know, other groups that do this. The church itself does this. There's not a lot of teaching in the scripture on this. It's kind of assumed from the Old Testament, but it's good. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Now this is just one offering. By the way, friend, this is somewhat what we're doing for Pastor Franco. What we're doing for Pastor Franco is this sort of an offering. Most of the time I've heard preaching on 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, I don't know why the guys preaching and aren't listening to text. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 has nothing to do with tithing or missions. It has something to do with the poor in Jerusalem. But the principles are similar, meaning what does a congregation do? Well, let's see what it does. Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, did somebody say something about the first day of the week this morning? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. By the way, missions giving, giving to special projects is separate from tithing. These are not the same issues. He goes on, that there be no gatherings when I come. I don't think Paul wanted to pressure people for money, extra money. He says, and when I come, whomsoever ye, you know the churches, shall approve, by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet or appropriate that I go also, they shall go with me. 2 Corinthians 8, we see Paul continuing this. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. I mean, this is a guy that had a reputation among many churches. And not only that, but who also was chosen of or by the churches. Everyone look at me. Remember last week. This guy, we don't know. I think it was Luke, but some people, you don't really know for sure. He was chosen by the churches, and the particular Greek word has the word hair, hand. He was chosen by the churches by a vote. They raised their hand. May I say this, folks? What we do at Lake County Baptist and other churches like ours is not something that Baptists do by, shouldn't be what we do by tradition. It ought to be exactly what they did. They had money, needed to go to Jerusalem, and you say, well, I just send money to this TV preacher. I can trust him. No, they sent money to Jerusalem. Paul said he would probably go. There was another guy that had a great reputation in all the churches, and there was at least one guy that they had raised the hand, voted on, to safeguard this money to get it to Jerusalem. You're watching over things. That makes good sense. We continue. But who was also chosen of or by, hupo means by, the churches, to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also what? Now, does our church watch over the money? Yes. How many pastors count money? Zero. Who counts money? Group of men, deacons and other, and a few others. Why? Because I think money should be divided up. And by the way, every little piece of things in one way or another is divided up. You say, Pastor, how much do you know about the money? This is what I know. 1990, it's a long time ago, isn't it? 24 years ago, I'm a young pastor. I know something's wrong with the finances. I could have found out a lot more at this age. I'm more cynical. You know how I found out there was a problem with the finances at LifeGate Baptist Church? The missionaries were not being paid. You look me in the eyes. I don't look at the details of the finances, but I do this. The missionary funds that go to Baptist World has my name on it. That receipt comes to me. I see every month whether or not we pay our missionaries. Did you know that? I don't have to count every nickel. Could somebody steal from this place? Yes. A little bit of cash. How much cash do we get in the offerings? Very little. Yes. It's organized in a way where it's very difficult to steal. And yes, you say, do you watch over it? As a pastor, yes. I'm looking over big pictures. I look at certain pieces of information. I have found missionary support's a good way for me to look because I want to make sure the missionaries are being supported. You look in a few other places, and by the way, once you pay all the bills, you don't have any money. Pretty straightforward. In your notes, Ezra did exactly the same thing. Because I want to be done in this lifetime, I won't read it, but it's worth reading. Number five in your notes. Number five. The congregation commissions its own missionaries. Missionaries ought to come from within a church. And even if they don't come from our membership, guess who decides they're going to be our missionaries? So folks, if we decide to take a missionary on and you don't know who they are, what do we got a problem, don't we? Do we have that problem in this church? Yes, I would say 1/3 to 2/3 of the people don't have any idea who the missionaries are. Even though they've been here, we decided as a church to take them on. It's like, yeah, I think I heard that person's name. Folks, it's our job. Church, not the pastor, the church. Yes, I oversee. Yes, I lead. Yes, I teach. Acts chapter 13, we have the first missionaries. Now, when they were in the church that is at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas. Barnabas was of Jewish descent. He was obviously a believer. He was from the island of Cyprus. Simeon, that was called Niger. We know nothing about this man other than he was called the Latin term for black. We would assume he would have been sub-Saharan African and a believer. Lucius of Cyrene, another leader in the church. He was from North Africa. He would have been west of Egypt in modern-day Libya. There was a province, a Roman province called Cyrene there for a long time. Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, possibly from Idumea. And of course, there was Saul, a Jewish believer, or Paul, and he was from Cilicia, or at least that's where he was born. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the, what's the next word? The work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and meaning the group, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, where they were, and then Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Later on. By the way, this is missions work. Everyone look at me. You'll notice that certain kinds of things we don't support at Lake County. This is a good time to talk about it. I'm a leader. I don't choose the missionaries, but I do unchoose. I believe our work is real simple. Anything we do has to have some part of this. Missions in the local, in the New Testament are this. Sending men and women out from a local church to start local churches who then report back to this local church and local churches like us. So the only kind of missions we support are people starting local churches, or there are groups and other ways where they support the local churches in a country and the ministries of local churches. We have no problem supporting Bible colleges, people helping in those ways, and the ministries, camps in other countries, anything that's supporting local churches, planting local churches, reporting back to local churches, that's missions. Anything supporting that or doing that. By the way, we don't support rock concerts. We don't support people that go to other countries and sit around in a building and drink tea and talk about evangelism. We support the work of the ministry, of missions. Acts 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. What did they do? They left Antioch. They go into this part of Turkey. They confirm the souls of the disciples in exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, voted on people, men to become the leaders of those churches, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So you see the process. They began in the local church at Antioch, and they went out, preached the gospel, but they established churches. Please look at me. Missions is not preaching the gospel. Missions is preaching the gospel with the intent of establishing local churches, of course. We in the past have shied away from planning local churches. And there's all kinds of mission works. But by the way, folks, people, how well do people do apart from a local church? Pandak, tonight we have to talk about somebody. Remind me. Because there's a person that hasn't been in this local church in a long time. And you know who they are. By the way, friend, we don't reach people with the gospel. We reach people with the gospel and we plant local churches. That's God's intention. We continue reading, please. Verse 24, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch. Now remember, there was an Antioch in almost every Roman province. This is the main Antioch in Syria, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. In your notes, here is missions in a nutshell. It begins in a local church. Missions are not apart from local churches, friend. Number two, it's not numbered. It resulted in local churches. It began in the local church at Antioch. It resulted in local churches. Thirdly, reported back to the local church. Reported back to the local church. That's the nature of what missions are. Now, please look at me. Today, we support... I should ask people, but I don't want to embarrass you. How many missionaries do we... Don't blab. Raise your hand. Do we support in the country of Kenya? Two. Can you give me them? And the Weavers, correct. We support two families. The Weaver's son, Paul Weaver, his primary ministry there is a Christian camp. I'm hoping you know that. I don't know if they have purchased the property, but have they got it? They have got the property now. You know, they lost that great piece of property. By the grace of God, that was a blessing in disguise. They were able to buy that church property and plant the seminary there, right in the town of Nairobi, and they now have another piece of property for the camp. By the way, can we support Paul Weaver? The answer is yes. Why? Because his ministry is doing what? He's not exactly a church planter, but he's one of the guys that comes alongside church planters. They will have pastors' events there. It's Camp Joy, right? No difference. Of course we can support that. We support Camp Joy here. Why? Is Camp Joy this local church? No, but it helps this local church and helps other local churches. Yes, missions begins in local churches, results in local churches, reports back to local churches. That's the nature of what we do. We come to the last responsibility. And unfortunately, this is the hardest responsibility. And unfortunately, this is the one that we refuse to do. I'm going to ask a question. I'm not being mean. If tomorrow you were to leave here and move to Idaho, you would quickly find that you could not find a church in most areas to go to. What should your job be? Start a church. I have a question. Would you be able doctrinally to start a church? My second question is, if you could not start one doctrinally, why couldn't you? This is our problem. Doctrine is whose responsibility? No, who do you think it is? No, doctrine's yours. Can I give you the bad news? Are you all ready? Do you know almost every epistle in the New Testament, not all of them, was written to? They weren't written to pastors. Yes, Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote to Titus. But you do realize Corinth is not a person, it's a church. Yes, Galatia was a series of churches. Peter writes to a bunch of different churches scattered all over some Roman provinces. You know why? Because he thought these churches were responsible for what was taught in their church. So how did churches go wrong? Talk to Walt Sifferson, Waukegan Bible Church. You don't know this. Waukegan Bible Church was the most successful Bible church in the entire Chicagoland region. Walt Sifferson came there either in the late 50s or early 60s. It was an exceptionally successful, fundamental Bible church. He said, I just saw step after step after step after step, and it was always the people that wanted to compromise until they compromised themselves out of existence. All right, take a breath, compromisers. How's Zion Bible Church doing today? Oh, it doesn't exist. They compromised themselves out of existence. You know, and by the way, you know who compromises himself out of existence? The people. They give away the faith an inch at a time. In over 20 or 30 years, there's not anything there worth keeping. Amen? By the way, Walt says when he came to Waukegan, there were 7 strong, fundamental Bible churches in Lake County, Illinois. Today, there is 1 small one. The other ones do not exist. In your notes, the congregation, that's you, receives and safeguards the gospel or the truth. I'm not trying to distinguish. How do we know this? Philippians 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to whom? He primarily writes to the saints with the overseers and deacons, servants. But primarily to the saints. He even says in Philippians 1:7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospels, you all, the church, are partakers of my grace. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, Timothy, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, friend, please hear me. I believe the pastors, yes, we're leaders, we're teachers, that's what our calling is. But I learned something in the last month in this church. There were a couple people that did not expect me to teach the doctrinal statement. And it has offended a couple people. Folks, we have a doctrinal statement for a reason. That sets the parameters of who we are. And any pastor that doesn't fit in that doctrinal statement needs to find some other place. But if you have a doctrinal statement like Hiles Anderson does, and Jackie Boy Hiles and all of the little redneck fundies, I love Jesus. We believe in the Bible. Pastor can do anything he wants to. Amen? Jack Hiles can come up on Sunday morning and says he believes in the eternal humanity of Jesus, which is first order heresy. Jesus was eternally human? And the little puppets behind him were saying amen. I saw it with my own eyes. And the people were sleeping. In your notes. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the what? Folks, you ought to know what tithing is. You ought to know what missions giving is. You ought to know what special needs giving is. It was given to the churches of Galatia. Even so do ye. Revelation, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Acts 14, and when they had gathered the church together. My friend, Please look at me and I'm done. I am 57 years old. When I was a young man in this church, I heard about compromise. There is no way anybody could have predicted where things would have gone. And the reason? The people love to have it so. The question is, what kind of a church are we? Will you, as a church, stand for truth in all areas? Doctrine, the experiential side, worship, the practical side. Churches start cutting things off. They don't want to be negative. They don't want to be different. So they cut off certain things of practice. And then worship starts becoming emotional as opposed to worship of God. It becomes the worship of us. And after a while, the church doesn't even look like the church. The doctrine subsides, and here it is. And my people love to have it so. The question is, what kind of church will this be in 20 or 30 years? You better get your children invested in every piece of the ministry. Because sooner or later, I hate to say it, this old man's going to be too old to do this. Who's going to replace me? Who's going to replace him? Who's going to replace you? Will we have another generation of fundamentalists? We almost don't now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word.